How's things going?
Yeah. Doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. Doing good.
Well, what did you think of this weekend in College Station? I know that you you made a post on X or Twitter, however you want to describe it, and said, hey, it happens. You're going to lose. I thought going into this series, or I guess these three series against Tennessee, A&M and Arkansas, and if they go 5-4, that's good. That's what you're at least striving for, and they're still in position to do that.
No, I agree with you. I thought, for some reason, I just always thought this Texas A&M series was going to be sneaky. So I told some friends that I thought LSU would drop two on the weekend. You don't like to see, unfortunately, just kind of let it slip away on Sunday, but it was just a tough weekend, and that happens, But, I mean, you take 2 out of 3 against Bama, 2 out of 3 against Tennessee. You have Arkansas, who's obviously the number 2 or 3 ranked team in the country, coming into your home park. So you have a chance to make it up, and then you have a really, really struggling South Carolina team to wind things down. So they have a chance to make up some room, but they're still not in a bad spot, right? Because, Texas dropped. Everybody in the SEC is going to get – you're going to get beat up. And it just – College Station is a tough place to play, and those guys are talented, and it just kind of happened,
Hey, Chris, I know you were a pitcher, and you've got that pitcher mentality. I just have a question. Whenever you're locked into an intense series, weekend series, and then, three very intense games like happened in College Station or Bryan College Station, whatever it's called, this weekend, is there a point like in the late in the game where you as a pitcher go over to the sideline and say, come on guys, let's break out some sticks here and start some raking? Or, I mean, do you get frustrated with it a little bit? I'm serious.
I think it's only human nature at times, but at the same time, these guys are your teammates. You've been with them for years at some time, depending on how long you've been in the program, how long they've been in the program. But you also have to realize, they're saving your butt at the same time, too, right? They're the guys that are playing defense behind you. They're the guys that are driving in runs. And it gets frustrating at times, but, that's a very thin line to tread, because then they're going to look at you. And if you give up a home run or you give up a run-scoring double or a couple of walks, they're going to say, look, you told us to do your job. Now you need to do yours. So I think it's the whole offense-defense thing in football as well, but it's just something to where, as a pitcher, you just have to – control what you can, and that's just trying to execute pitches and make the best pitches possible and let those guys do what they do, and they're at LSU for a reason, and they can swing the bat for a reason, and A&M's got good guys who are going to play pro ball and pitch in pro ball too, just like Arkansas, and future big leaguers out there. So it's just going to happen. But no, I would never say hey, y'all need to get with it,
That's because you're a team player, Chris. Todd is not a team player. He was a quarterback.
That's a good way to make enemies in the clubhouse. So.
Yeah, right. And they could get some runs, and then you could give up 5 the next inning. So you got to be careful.
But whether you express it or not, you still feel it.
Well, I think sometimes, too, you know what your guys are capable of, right? So, obviously, I played in the late 90s teams, and I knew what, when we're getting held to one run, but I've seen a score, 7 an inning off of 3 home runs. You're like, come on, man. Like, y'all should be crushing this guy. But then you have to take a step back and say, I mean, it's baseball. It's an old cliche, but it's true, So it's, what those guys are capable of, and they're just having a bad day. Just like my job is to go out there and make the other team look bad and to get out and, for them to, in the other dugout, say, I can't understand why we can't hit this guy. It's just the nature of the game, and it works for you sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. And this weekend, they just had a tough time swinging the bat,
Chris, as a pitcher, are there some, particularly some of the younger pitchers in the bullpen that not Cason Evans and not Zach Cowan, are there some guys you see developing incrementally here in recent weeks?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I actually thought about that. This weekend, Glenn, because, Coach Berman always used to have a saying where he would tell us throughout different parts of the year, but it's like you have to graduate, meaning at some point you are going to break through the pressure barrier, but it's different for every person. And I was thinking about that this weekend on the back of Maverick Rizzi's outing,
right?
Where you've seen flashes and he comes in and does a really good job. And Cooper Williams is getting more time on the mound, it seems like. But even you see older guys like a Cowan or an Evans to where they haven't played at LSU before. So that every time they go out in the SEC in an away environment, or like Ianson, right, this week, I think he's fully graduated, meaning he threw a complete game in a hostile environment. He shut their fans up. He shut their team up. So now for him, he should feel confident going into any environment. You know, now sometimes that ratchets up in super regionals in Omaha, but you definitely see signs of guys maturing throughout the year, because every time they have success in a different environment or in a different setting, say Rizzi does the same thing in a super regional, where he just continues to graduate to where next year at this time, like, there won't be any pressure on him because he's done it before. So I think it comes in different increments for people. But then I also thought, well, you got guys like Skeens and Cruz who are just freaks, where the pressure just doesn't matter. They're uber superbly talented to where they don't need to graduate. As soon as they step on campus, they've done it. You know, they're just so confident and they're just so good, head and shoulders above everybody. That doesn't necessarily pertain to them. But that's a long-winded answer of saying yes. You know, and I think Schmidt is kind of – had some ups and downs this year, but, you know, it would have been nice to see him pitch tonight and have some more success. But I definitely see – I feel like Jay is kind of honing in on some guys he feels like he can trust moving forward.
Yeah, I think maybe DJ Primo and Cooper Williams, who he talked mm-hmm. about quite a bit Monday night, and you mentioned Rizzi.
Yeah.
What did you think of the performance this weekend from Zach Cowan and Cason Evans? Those guys have been such nails all year. And we've talked about it earlier in the show, Chris. I mean, you just can't expect those guys to be perfect every single time. But anything just jump out to you as far as what you saw from them, in particular Cowan?
I think for him, and I definitely saw more of his outings this weekend than Evans initially when he started. But I think with Cowan, it's just, you know, so it just happens. That's a terrible answer. But sometimes, you know, and the other thing, too, is, and I'm sure Yeski and Cowan are probably talking about this, people have probably started to get a book on him yeah. in terms of what he likes to throw versus lefties and versus righties, right? And I thought Saturday in game two, I thought he got squeezed a little bit, but that happens to everybody. But they know he's going to lean on his changeup a lot. And so I think they're probably going to have to start mixing things up. And once again, he's been nails all year. I think for the first half of the year, he was the MVP along with Daniel Dickinson, right? And they're kind of maybe slacking off a little bit, but this is a long, slow grind. And the SEC is better than it ever has been. You know, you look at the top 10 and they probably have like five or six teams in the top 10. It's just, so I think for him, he just had a little bump in the road, but I would not hesitate to give him the ball again this weekend, but I wouldn't be surprised if they start, you know, pitching backwards. Maybe they throw a few more fastballs or a few more sliders to lefties or some different things to where people just can't necessarily hone in on maybe his pitch combinations in terms of what they've been seeing throughout the previous part of the year with him.
Well, Chris, do you remember the exact game when you felt like Skip graduated you?
Oh, I remember it to this day. I can tell you exactly. Yeah, it was 1996 against Florida in the College World Series. I mean, I remember it to this day. Well, because my catcher, Ed Yarnell, started the game. We were winning 2-1 in the ninth, and I started the ninth inning to get a lefty out. And that really wasn't my role, but that's what I needed to do and to lead off the inning. And I went 2-0 on the guy. Then I came back to strike him out, and Coach Berman came out to the mound and took me out for a righty. But I'll never forget Tim Lanier, who I played high school baseball with, was our catcher. And he came up to me and he said, "Man, you graduated today. You did a really great job." And I was like, "You know what? You're damn right. I graduated. So I'll take it." But I had success throughout that year in 1996. But some of it was smoke and mirrors. You know, I kind of give up a hit or, you know, let the tying run score and then we'd win. So it looked like I got the win, but maybe I didn't pitch great. But after that, you know, it was, you know, I didn't really feel a whole lot of pressure besides anything I put on myself. But it was one of those situations to where a tough environment, you know, millions of people watching and I succeeded. And, you know, it just a situation. Yeah, but so I remember it to this day, you know, the hitter's name, everything. It's crazy.
Well, Chris, what are you expecting to see this weekend out at the box with Arkansas? I mean, it's a high, another intense situation. LSU needs it, like we've talked about, so they can stay on pace to be a super regional top, you know, a number one seed. They're on the cusp right now. They definitely need to take two at least. What do you expect?
I think it's going to be a lot like probably the Tennessee series or something like that. You know, I think it's going to be high intensity, high leverage situations, and you're really going to have to see some of LSU's big time guys step up. I think I personally believe, I have full confidence that they're going to take 2 out of 3 this weekend. But you know, on Friday night they're going to face the Root kid from Arkansas, who's, you know, a Cade Anderson, Liam Doyle clone, right? Another dominant lefty who threw fabulous against Texas this weekend. I think he was SEC Pitcher of the Week or D1 Pitcher of the Week, maybe. I saw it on Twitter. 8 innings, like, shutout against Texas. And he's, you know, he's had a really good career from East Carolina now to Arkansas. So Friday night's going to be tough. And one thing that's, I think, that's held Arkansas back the past couple years, and they seem to have kind of rectified it a little bit, is they can really hit. You know, I thought the past couple years they just didn't hit great. But it seems like they can really swing the bat, and you know they're always going to have arms. But I just think with the crowd coming home, you know, they kind of have to flip a switch mentally and know that last weekend wasn't great, and I think they're going to perform really well. And it's, you know, I think Cade Anderson and Ianson are going to do what they've been doing all year. It's just a matter of, you know, Cade keeping the ball in the yard, Anthony getting off to a quick start, which sometimes he gets off to a slow start before he figures it out. And they're just going to have to find a way to scratch across some runs, and hopefully, you know, the fans can you know, cheer them on and get some of that magic going. But I feel good about this weekend. You know, they usually step up against big-time teams, and with it at home, I mean, I think they'll take 2 out of 3.
Well, let's hope the games start before 9 o'clock. That's all
that's
I'm
right.
asking for.
All right, Grandpa.
Weather, enough,
I'm just saying, it knocks the crowd out of the game, except for the guys that have been overserved. But anyways, Chris, thanks a lot for your insight, man. We really appreciate it. Always good talking with you.
All right, Jeff. Sounds good. Y'all take care. Thank you.
All right, that's Chris Demui, former LSU pitcher here on Tiger Rag Radio. We'll talk more about this LSU-Arkansas series, get a bit of a scouting report on the Razorbacks from Tom Murphy, who covers Arkansas athletics for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. So stay tuned for that. This is Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.